Sechs Grund Projekt da mich design full Projekt heimisch ne gibel a schicht sa de heimal wann du slotes an animal um what's about shilya and finds inside of it a shilya. A shilya is an amniotic sac that refers to the sac in which a fetus is carried inside of the womb. And the Mishnah states that nefesh hayofa tichlena, somebody who has a type of nature that isn't disgusted by eating this, he may eat it. There is an assumption that if there is an amniotic sac inside of the womb, that means that there was certainly also a fetus which began to be formed inside of the womb. And even if we can't see it now, it must have dissolved or something else like that. However, since even if there was a full fetus inside of the animal's body in the animal's womb, the slaughtering of the mother would permit the fetus to be eaten as well, even without slaughtering the fetus itself. The same applies over here. And it would therefore be permitted to eat the amniotic sac if somebody wants to. However, this sac does not become tomei, become impure, as food can become impure. Not anything in the world can become impure. It has to be some kind of significant utensil or food. There are many different rules to define what can become impure, but the point of the Mishnah is that this is not considered to be a food. So it would not be able to become tomei. Although it is possible to eat it, the average person would never eat such a thing, and therefore this is not considered to be designated for eating. So it cannot become tomei as a food, velotumas nevelos, and it would also not be impure as a nevela, an animal which has died without a proper slaughtering. Since even if there was a fetus inside, it's been dissolved, and therefore there is nothing left for it to be considered a nevela. Now all that is left is just the sack around it. Now, chishev aleha, if somebody intended, let's say the owner of this amniotic sac, the owner of the animal, he intended to eat the amniotic sac, he designated it for eating. Now, although until now it wasn't necessarily automatically designated as a food, since this person intends to eat it as a food, metamotumas oichlin would become impure as a food can become impure. Now it has the status of a food item, avalotumas nevelos, but it still cannot become tomei. It does not have an impure status as a nevela, because it's only the sac which is over here, and not the fetus, not the animal itself. A amniotic sac where part of the sac exited the animal's body before it was slaughtered. Asura ba'achila, the entire amniotic sac would be forbidden to eat even once the mother is slaughtered. Reason being that we are concerned that the part of the dissolved fetus, which was once the majority or the head, a very significant part of the animal, we're concerned that that part was inside the sac, the part of the sac which exited the body. And therefore it would have the same law as a case where a fetus put out its head of the womb and then put it back in. As soon as its head has exited the body, it's considered to have been born, and would no longer become permitted via the slaughtering of the mother. And the same applies over here. Continues the Mishnah, the appearance of an amniotic sac is simon vlad bo isha, it's a sign of a fetus for a woman, a human being. If there is an amniotic sac found inside of her womb, then it is assumed that there was a fetus there which might have been dissolved. Simon vlad bo behema, and similarly it is also the sign of a fetus inside of an animal. For a woman, the practical difference this makes is that if this comes out of her womb, then she becomes tomei just like if she had given birth. And for an animal, the practical difference it makes is regarding the law which the Mishnah just stated, that once part of it exits the animal's body, the slaughtering of the mother would no longer permit the amniotic sac to be eaten. Hamvakeres, an animal which has never given birth before, Shehepila Shilya, and this animal miscarried a amniotic sac. It came out of her womb, and once again there is a assumption that there was a fetus over here, and the difference it makes that the animal has never given birth before is that the firstborn animal of a kosher animal, and as well as that a donkey, the firstborn animal has a level of holiness to it and needs to be given to a kohen. There are certain prohibitions which one cannot do anything with these animals. Be as it may, this only applies to male firstborns. And there are also a number of cases where the animal which is born has a very unusual appearance. some disorder which would make it not be considered a firstborn which has holiness. Now, in the case where we're not sure what the fetus was going to be, we're not sure if it was a male or female, so there's already only a 50% chance that the animal indeed was a bechor, a firstborn which has holiness. And because there are certain cases where even if it's a male fetus, a male child animal, even then it wouldn't necessarily become holy as a firstborn if it has an unusual appearance, etc. And therefore there is a minority chance of this fetus actually having the status of a holy firstborn. And because of that, one can rely on the majority that it is not holy, and yashlichen laklovim, he may throw this amniotic sac and the dissolved fetus inside of it with it to the dogs. He does not need to be concerned for the possibility that it is holy, uvam kdoshin. Regarding an animal which had been designated as a korban, if this animal miscarries and a amniotic sac comes out of its womb, over here, whether it's male or female, it would have a holy status. Just like the mother is considered a korban, this would also have that holy status. And because this applies to both a male or female child, there is certainly a majority that it is holy, and therefore tikover, it would need to be buried, and one may not benefit from it in any other way. And the Mishnah ends off, vein kovin oiso b'farshis drachim, one may not bury it on a crossroad area, vein tolin oiso b'ilon, nor may one hang it on a tree, because these were both superstitious practices, because of superstitious practices, customs of the non-Jews, which are forbidden. Perakim Mishnah Aleph. In terms of the order and layout of the perakim in this Masechta, the first two perakim talked about how to carry out the slaughtering of an animal, and included in that are the five different invalidations which could come about when one slaughters. The subject of the next two perakim was which animals can be slaughtered, which ones can be eaten. And included in that, the third perek spoke at length about the slaughtering of a mother which can permit even the child which is inside of its mother. And for the rest of the Masechta, each perek is going to focus on a different aspect, a different law which might apply and relate to slaughtering an animal, or to that which needs to be done after the animal is slaughtered, between that time and eating the animal. And pretty much each perek is its own subject in itself, and this perek, perek hey, it talks about the law and the prohibition of slaughtering a mother and its child on the same day. The Torah explicitly prohibits this, and because each perek now is going to discuss a different law, at the beginning of each perek, or the beginning of each discussion of the new law, the Mishnah is going to summarize in which cases, in which scenarios, these laws apply. So the Mishnah, the perek begins, Oysev es benoi. These laws about Oysev es benoi, the animal and its child, Noheig beim oretz beim chutz l'oretz. This prohibition applies both in Eretz Yisrael and outside of Eretz Yisrael. Just like any mitzvah which isn't related to something which grows in the ground itself. Bifnei abayis v'shalom bifnei abayis. Both when the Beis HaMikdosh is in existence and when it is not. And it applies to both non-holy animals as well as animals which has been designated as korbanos. Ketzad, how so? The Mishnah is now going to elaborate in great detail and go through all of the different scenarios of slaughtering non-holy animals or slaughtering kosher animals, and when exactly one would get punished. The punishment for most negative prohibitions in the Torah is malchus, when one receives lashes. And the Mishnah is going to include in this discussion the severe punishment of kores, the one is, so to speak, cut off from Hashem. And that punishment is given to somebody who slaughters or performs any service of a korban outside of the Beis HaMikdosh. Now, although it is forbidden to slaughter an animal and its child on the same day, if one did go ahead and violate this prohibition, the meat of that animal does not become forbidden. Perhaps it might be midrabbonon forbidden on that same day, so that you do not end up gaining from the prohibition which you did, but on a midoraisa Torah level, it is permitted to eat the meat of that animal, even once you violated the prohibition of slaughtering a mother and its child on the same day. Now, we mentioned that it's forbidden to slaughter a korban outside of the Beis HaMikdosh, and the punishment for doing that is the severe punishment of kores. In a similar vein, it is also forbidden to slaughter a non-korban animal, one which is not holy, inside the Beis HaMikdosh, or the Beis HaMikdosh courtyard. And if one slaughters a korban outside of the Beis HaMikdash, or a non-korban animal inside of the Beis HaMikdash, it is forbidden to eat the meat of that animal. Not only is it forbidden to do this, but once one does it, it would actually be forbidden to eat the meat of that animal. And in this way, it is unlike the prohibition of slaughtering a mother and its child on the same day. Says the Mishnah, Shrichit Oseves Benoi, one who slaughters a mother and its child, Chulin Bachutz, and both of the animals are non-holy. They have a Chulin status, and he slaughters them outside of the Beis HaMikdash, Shneim Kasherim. Both of the animals are valid, they can be eaten. The Hasheni, and the one who slaughters the second of those two animals, Sofer Gesar Boim, would receive 40 lashes, which is the regular punishment of Malkus for violating this prohibition. The prohibition is obviously on the second slaughtering, not the first one. What happens if both of the animals were kodshim bachutz? They were korban animals, and he slaughtered them outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Harishain, the one who performed the first slaughtering, Chayev Kores, would be liable to the severe punishment of Kores for slaughtering a korban outside of the Beis HaMikdash. However, the second one would not be liable to Kores. Reason being that the punishment of Kores for slaughtering a korban outside of the Beis HaMikdash only applies if that korban is still valid, and it is a fitting slaughtering. But over here, it would be forbidden to bring that korban on the same day. So right now, it's considered to be an invalid korban, and therefore the punishment of Kores would not apply for slaughtering that korban outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Be as it may, Ushneim Psulin, both of these animals would be invalid, they would not be able to be eaten, since they are both korbanos which were slaughtered outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Even the second one, which, although the punishment of Kores does not apply, at the end of the day, it's a korban which was slaughtered outside of the Beis HaMikdash, and as such, it cannot even be eaten. Ushneim Sovigun Sarboim, and both of the people who slaughter both of the animals would be liable to the punishment of getting 40 lashes. The second one, of course, because he violated the prohibition of slaughtering a mother and its child, meaning for slaughtering the second animal. And in this case, the first one also receives Malkus, since he violated the prohibition of slaughtering a korban outside of the Beis HaMikdash. It should be noted, by the way, that one who is liable to this person, it comes out, is liable to Kores and Malkus. But the truth is, once he receives the Malkus, once he receives the lashes, that is supposed to be an atonement from the more severe punishment of being cut off from Hashem, so to speak. What happens if both animals were chulin, they were not korbanos, they were not holy, bifnim, and he slaughtered both of them, or two people slaughtered one each, inside the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, shnei psulin, both animals would be invalid and forbidden to eat. In fact, they're even forbidden from any benefit, because it is non-holy, a non-holy animal which was slaughtered in the Beis HaMikdash, v'hasheni sofer gezar boim. However, only the second one would receive Malkus, since the prohibition of slaughtering an animal inside the Beis HaMikdash when it is not a korban is not actually a negative prohibition in the Torah. The Torah says that one can only slaughter outside of the Beis HaMikdash, and because of that, one is not allowed to do it inside the Beis HaMikdash, but there is no explicit command not to do it inside the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore one would not receive Malkus for such a sin, alright? And the final case of this Mishnah, Kodshim Bifnim, if both animals were korbanos, and he slaughtered both of them inside the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, so the one who slaughtered the first animal, he didn't do anything wrong. Harishon Kosher, the first one is totally valid to be eaten, to be bought as a korban or potter, and the one who slaughtered that animal would be totally exempt, he didn't do anything wrong. The Hasheni, however, the second one, the one who slaughtered the second animal, Sofer Gesar Boim, he would receive 40 lashes for the prohibition of slaughtering the second animal out of the mother and child on the same day, or posel, and that korban would be invalid. Mishnah Beis, the Mishnah now continues with the scenarios which were begun in the previous Mishnah. Chulin v'kodshim bachutz. If the first out of the two animals was not holy, and the second one was a korban, and he slaughtered both of them outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Harisha, in the first animal, kosher is totally valid, it can be eaten, or potter, and the one who slaughtered it is exempt, because he just slaughtered a regular animal outside of the Beis HaMikdash. However, the Hasheni, the one who slaughtered the second animal, he would receive 40 lashes, Sofer Gesar Boim, Upossel, and the korban would be invalid, since it involved a prohibited slaughtering. Kodshim Chulin Bachutz. If the first animal was a korban, and the second one was not a korban, and they both were slaughtered outside, Harishon Chayev Kores. The one who slaughtered the first animal, which is a korban outside of the Beis HaMikdash, would be liable to the punishment of Kores, Upossel, and the korban is invalid, and cannot be eaten because it's a korban which was slaughtered outside of the Beis HaMikdash. V'hasheni, and the second animal, which is not a korban and it was slaughtered outside. So in terms of that, there's no prohibition. The only prohibition is slaughtering the second of the mother and its child on the same day. But that prohibition does not prohibit the meat itself, so the hasheni kosher, the second one, would be permitted to eat, and both of these people would receive malchus. The first one would receive malchus for slaughtering a korban outside of the Beis HaMikdash, and the second one for slaughtering the second out of the two animals. What happens now if it's chulin v'kodshim bifnim? The first animal is not holy, the second one is a korban, and they are both slaughtered inside. Shnei psulin, both animals are invalid, they cannot be eaten. The first one, because it's a non-korban slaughtered inside the Beis HaMikdash in the wrong place. And the second one cannot be eaten, and it's an invalid korban, since it involved a forbidden slaughtering, because it was the second animal. But only the hasheni sofek zarboim, only the second one would receive malchus, because the prohibition of slaughtering a non-korban inside the Beis HaMikdash does not warrant the punishment of lashes. What if it's the opposite? Kodshim v'chulim bifnim, if the first animal is a korban, the second one is not a korban, and they were both slaughtered inside, harishon kosher apater. The first one is totally valid, can be eaten, and the one who slaughtered it would be exempt. He didn't do anything wrong, v'hasheni, but the one who slaughtered the second animal, sofek zarboim, he would receive 40 lashes for the prohibition of Oisuves benoi, slaughtering the second out of the two animals, uposel, and the animal cannot be eaten. And over here, this is because of the prohibition of slaughtering a non-korban inside the Beis HaMikdash. Continues the Mishnah with the next group of scenarios. Chulin b'chutz b'fnim. Both animals are non-korbanos. The first one is slaughtered outside, the second one is slaughtered inside. By now one should be able to work out what the law is going to be. Harishan kosher upotar. For the slaughtering of the first animal, that would be totally valid, and the one would be exempt because he just slaughtered a regular animal outside of the Beis HaMikdash, the Hasheni, and the one who slaughtered the second animal, sofek zarboim, he would receive 40 lashes for the prohibition of Oisuves Benoi, and Uposel, the korban would be invalid the non-korban would be forbidden to be eaten since it was slaughtered inside the Beis HaMikdash. Kodshim b'chutz b'fnim, if there were two animals which were korbanos, the first one was slaughtered outside, and the next one was slaughtered inside, Horishin Chayv Koreis, the one who slaughtered the first animal will be liable to Koreis for slaughtering a korban outside of the Beis HaMikdash. However, the second one would not be liable to Koreis, even though he slaughtered the korban outside of the Beis HaMikdash, since at the time that he slaughtered it, that korban was not able to be bought as a korban inside the Beis HaMikdash because of the prohibition of slaughtering the second of the two animals on the same day. And as a result, the punishment of Koreis does not apply to one who would slaughter that animal outside the Beis HaMikdash on that day. However, it's still forbidden to eat it, because at the end of the day, it's a korban which was not slaughtered inside the Beis HaMikdash, so Shneim Psulin, both animals would be forbidden to eat, and they would, of course, be invalid korbanos, or Shneim Sofek Zarboim, and both of them would receive 40 lashes. Chulin Bifnim Bachutz, if both animals were non-korbanos, and the first one was slaughtered inside, the next one was slaughtered outside, Harishon Posel Upator. The first animal is invalid, meaning it cannot be eaten, because it was slaughtered inside the Beis HaMikdash. However, the one who did so would not be liable to lashes, because there is no punishment of lashes for one who slaughters a non-korban inside the Beis HaMikdash. The Hasheni, and the one who slaughtered the second animal, sofek zarboim, he would receive lashes for the prohibition of slaughtering the second of the two animals, the kosher, but the animal can be eaten, because that is the only prohibition which was violated, and that does not forbid the meat from being eaten. Kodshim b'fim b'chutz, if both animals were korbanos, the first one was slaughtered inside, the second one was slaughtered outside, Harishon kosher upotar, the first animal is totally valid as a korban, and the one who slaughtered it would be totally exempt, he didn't do anything wrong. The Hasheni, the one who slaughtered the second animal, sofek zarboim, he would receive 40 lashes for the prohibition of slaughtering the second of the two animals, uposel, and the korban would be invalid because it was slaughtered outside of the Beis HaMikdash. However, he would not be liable to Koreis, even though he slaughtered a korban outside of the Beis HaMikdash, because once again, at the time that he slaughtered it, this korban was not fit to be bought even inside the Beis HaMikdash, since there would be a prohibition of slaughtering it because it was the second of the two animals out of the mother and its child. Mishnah Gimel, there is no prohibition to kill a mother and its child on the same day. The prohibition only applies to one who slaughters the mother and its child on the same day, regardless of the order, whether he slaughters the mother first or the child first. The Mishnah is going to discuss a case now where the slaughtering in terms of itself was a valid slaughtering, however the animal is forbidden to eat for a different reason. Hasheichet v'nim tzatreifa, one who slaughters a animal and its child, Oseves benoi, however one of the animals was found to be a treifa. It had an internal wound, and as such it is forbidden to eat it. Hasheichet l'aved zara, one who slaughters an animal for the sake of idolatry, it's forbidden to eat or benefit from such an animal. Hasheichet paras chatos, one who slaughters a para aduma, a red cow, which is burnt and the ashes are used in a solution in order to purify people who have become impure. Be it as it may, the animal which is a paradumed is forbidden to slaughter it. And if one does so, it will be forbidden to eat the meat, so the slaughtering does not end up permitting the meat to be eaten. Mishara niskal, or an ox which needs to be stoned, this refers to an animal which has killed a human being. The law is that it is forbidden to benefit from such an animal, and the animal needs to be killed. So if one slaughters the animal, he will not be able to eat the meat. Ve'egla arufa, or if somebody slaughters an egla arufa refers to a situation where a dead body is found outside of a city, somebody was murdered, and they are not sure, it's unknown who the murderer was. So there's a whole procedure which the Torah describes where the nearest city, the beastin of the nearest city come out, and they go through a whole procedure involving a calf and breaking the neck of the calf, and then burying that calf, and is forbidden to benefit from the egla arufa. And if one slaughters it, then one would not be able to eat the meat. So in all of these cases, if one of these two animals was one of these examples, then Rabbi Shimon says that he would be exempt. And the prohibition of Oisuves Benoi, of slaughtering a mother and its child, would not apply in these situations. Because according to Rabbi Shimon, a shechita she'eina re'uya, a slaughtering which is not fit, which doesn't end up permitting the meat, which is the entire purpose of the shechita, of the slaughtering, if it doesn't end up permitting the meat, then it's not considered to be a slaughtering at all. We view it as if the animal was just killed, and therefore the prohibition of slaughtering a mother and its child would not apply. But the Chachomim do obligate the person who slaughters one of these animals and its child or mother, and he would be liable to lashes, since according to the Chachomim, at the end of the day, the slaughtering itself was valid. It's forbidden to eat the meat for a different reason, and therefore this prohibition would still apply. On the other hand, everybody agrees that in the following cases, Hashochet v'nisav lo b'yodoi, one who slaughters an animal and it becomes a nevela in his hand, meaning there is an invalidation of the slaughtering. So the actual slaughtering is not proper. The hanoicher, one who stabs the nostrils or the throat of the animal in order to kill it, so he doesn't perform a valid slaughtering at all. The hamaaker, or one who tears away the food pipe or the windpipe, he doesn't do a proper slaughtering with a knife. Potter mishum oisaves benoi. If one of the animals was killed in this way, then the one who slaughtered the second animal would be exempt from lashes because of the prohibition of slaughtering a mother and its child on the same day, since that only applies to something which is a slaughtering, a valid slaughtering, at least in terms of itself. And not only that, if the first animal was killed in this way, it would be permitted, even ideally, to kill its child or mother and slaughter it properly. If two people buy a cow and its child, and they both wanted to slaughter their animal on the same day, so they arrived at Beis Din, and they have an argument as to who has the monetary rights to be the one who will slaughter it on that day. Says the Mishnah, and the one who bought the animal first, he has the rights to slaughter the animal first. The reason being that when one sells an animal to somebody else, the understood agreement is that the buyer is the one who has precedence now over the seller. If the seller still has the mother or the child of this animal, when he sells one of the animals, the understood agreement is that the buyer will be the one who will have a higher precedence in slaughtering his animal. So because of that, it emerges that after the first animal was sold, the seller himself, he still has the other animal, but he has not got any more rights. Meaning, already from this stage, the first buyer has precedence over the seller. So when the seller sells this the remaining animal to the second buyer just takes place of the seller, but that means that he does not have more rights than the first buyer. The first buyer takes precedence in slaughtering his animal. That having been said, Vim Kodam Hasheni, if the second one did go ahead without asking, and he slaughtered the animal, then Zocha, he is merited. He managed to do that, and there's nothing we can do now. The first buyer would be forbidden to slaughter his animal on that day. Continues the Mishnah. Shochat porav achkach shnei bonecha. If one slaughters a cow, and after that he slaughters two of the cow's children on the same day, he performed two acts which were forbidden. The second and third slaughtering were forbidden, and therefore, sovik shmoinim, he would receive 80 lashes, two sets of 40 lashes. Shochat shnei bonecha. But if he slaughtered both of the children, and then he slaughtered the mother, so the first and second slaughtering were totally permitted. It was only the third slaughtering which was forbidden, and even though it was forbidden for two different reasons, at the end of the day, those two different reasons are essentially the same. And as well as that, he only did one action, and because of that, so because Arboim, he would only receive 40 lashes. If one slaughters an animal, and then he slaughters the animal's daughter, and then the animal's granddaughter, he would receive 80 lashes, because both the second and third slaughtering were forbidden. However, if he first slaughtered the animal, and then he slaughtered the animal's granddaughter, so far he has not done any prohibition. And then he slaughtered the daughter of the original animal, who is also the mother of the second animal which was slaughtered. So once again, there are two reasons why what he is doing is forbidden, but at the end of the day, it's the same prohibition, it's one action, and therefore, so because Arboim, he would only receive 40 lashes. Sumchus says in the name of Reb Meir that in all of these cases, Sofik Shemoinim, he would receive 80 lashes, since at the end of the day, there are two reasons why what he is doing is forbidden. And even though he only did one action, we look at it as he performing two different sins with one action, for which he would be liable to two sets of lashes according to Sumchus. In general, if somebody sells an animal to somebody else, he doesn't need to tell him about the animal's mother or child, and whether the mother or child was slaughtered that day, or he sold it to somebody else who was going to slaughter it that day. Because in general, if somebody buys an animal, he's not necessarily planning on slaughtering it immediately on that same day, and therefore there's no reason to be concerned. However, Barabo Prokhan Bashona, four times during the year, Hamoicher Behemel HaChaveger, one who sells an animal to somebody else, Tzorich Lohaydiyoy, he needs to let him know that Imam Mocharti Lishrait, that I sold this animal's mother for the sake of slaughtering, or Bitom Mocharti Lishrait, I sold its daughter for the sake of slaughtering, because during these four times, they are times where people have very large meals, and anybody who's buying a animal for the sake of slaughtering is very likely to slaughter it immediately for the sake of the festive meal which he is about to eat that night or the following day. Ve'eluhein, the following are those four times. Number one, Erevan V'Achin Shelechog, the day before the last day of Sukkos, Shmini Atzeres. People would have extra large festive meals on that day. Ve'erevan V'Rishon Shel Pesach, the day before the first day of Pesach. The Erev Atzeres, the day before Shavuos, Ve'erev Rosh Hashanah, and the day before Rosh Hashanah. And according to Rabbi Saglili, after Erev Yom Bagolil, even the day before Yom Kippur, in the area of Golil, because it is a mitzvah to eat on that day, and in Golil especially, they would have very large festive meals on that day. Rabbi Huda explained, Emosai, when exactly is this true that one needs to let the buyer know? B'zman revach, in a case where there was no time in between when he sold the first animal and the second animal, meaning he sold the first animal on that same day. Well, yes, revach, but if there was time in between and he sold the first animal, let's say, a day beforehand, so then it is safe to assume that the person who bought it the previous day slaughtered it the previous day, and therefore, in Tzorich Lohidiyo, you would not need to let the second buyer know that you sold its mother or daughter the previous day. That having been said, Rabbi Yehuda agrees, B'moicher so'eim l'choson v'esabas l'kalo, concerning one who sells the mother animal to a groom, or to the groom's family, and the daughter animal, the child, to the bride or her family, even if you sell them on different days, it's very obvious that they both are buying these animals in order to slaughter them for the sake of the wedding feast, and therefore tzorich l'idea, you would always need to let them know that you sold the other animal to the other side, because it is known that both of them are planning on slaughtering the animals on the same day.